Welcome to Modern Man Talks, where we connect with gentlemen in the six-figure income bracket. We'll discuss how they got to where they are and what it takes to keep it and to grow. Here's our first episode with James May.
Me and her had a great relationship, and you know, growing up, kind of bounced around schools, not really because of moving, but new schools were being built in West Cobb County. You know, there's a lot of students. So every single time I went from elementary school to middle school to high school, it was new, right? I never really had like the same core group of people. Still kept in contact with a lot of people, but it was challenging because trying to constantly like almost rebrand yourself every time you go to a new school definitely presents its challenges, some good, some bad.
Right.
It was a little bit of a difficult road, but I graduated high school in 2005. Tried to do the college route. I guess I can also just put it out there. I'm a recovering heroin and cocaine addict.
Okay.
So I've been sober now almost 9 years, completely sober. And so you know, it was a challenging road. I tried college, wasn't for me. Basically failed out. Constantly plagiarizing, got caught for that a lot, but I was always kind of a smooth talker and could kind of talk my way out of a lot of situations, a lot of legal trouble. And then, 2014, when I got sober is kind of when I, took a turn and utilized a lot of the things that I learned, along the way that were kind of negative things that impacted my life negatively. I just kind of turned them around and used those for positive and stuck to role models. And, you know, now I'm here now. I've got two, companies. It's in the medical field. So we do drug and alcohol and mental health treatment. Okay. So we have a location in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, and we also have a location in Kennesaw. And we are working on our third location in Cartersville, which is going to be a primary mental health psychiatric inpatient unit.
Okay.
About a couple months out from getting that started. I also sell cologne. I sell shoes. I mean, I pretty much do a little bit of everything.
The whole gambit of entrepreneurship and self-madeness.
Yeah. I mean, if I can... You know, I've never been the type of person that's like, hey, you know, if it's a dollar or if it's $100 or if it's $100,000 or if it's $1 million.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm going to chase it. And part of that's just growing up, not having a ton. Right. A lot of love growing up, but not a lot of money. Right. And so, you know, I just kind of, man, I hustle, man. I just hustle.
Just speaking about growing up a little bit, I know you're saying that you went back and forth from different schools and whatnot, but how much of a role did your parents actually play in your financial development and the way that you think about money?
I would say where I'm at today, not a lot. Mm-hmm. So my dad's disabled. He was disabled probably when I was in high school. He got hurt at work. He worked in a warehouse for a pharmaceutical company. And, you know, he's got his hobbies, and my mom babysat kids growing up. So there was always kids around me in the home. She actually ran a child daycare out of our house. So once that wasn't working for her and my dad was disabled, my mom kind of stepped up and was like, hey, it's time for me to, like, you know, get a real job. And not to say that child daycare out of the home isn't a real job, but, you know, providing benefits and things like that, things that the family needs, because my sister was still pretty young at the time. She, you know, just kind of worked her way up. She started at a chicken company doing human resources.
Okay.
And has kind of moved her way up. I say the biggest person that kind of taught me the most would be, like, my grandfather. You know, he was an executive for Ace Hardware for like 50 years. Okay. So he taught me a lot of really important things. Now, at the time, I didn't really know what I was learning.
Exactly.
Right. It was a hindsight kind of moment where, you know, as I would get involved, once I, you know, got myself straightened out and started, you know, started a business myself, it was little things that I would pick up when I'd be in certain moments okay. where I would be like, oh, this is what they were trying to teach me then, okay. right? And that's, I'd say primarily my whole life. Excuse me. There's not a lot that I learn in the moment, but it's when I get into a situation
that you can always recall.
Yes.
Right, right. Can you give us an example of one of the things that your granddad might have taught you that you were able to recall?
One of the things was like investments,
okay.
IRAs and things like that. So a lot of my trouble that I go back to, I had a side business right. where I sold things that weren't legal.
Right. I got you.
and so I used to always kind of look at certain things like, you know, rappers and all these things that they kind of portray out there. And I'd be like, oh, well, if I have like $100,000 in cash, like I'm set.
Right.
And like, if you really think about it, $100,000 in cash isn't a lot.
Right.
So one thing that my grandfather taught me was like, hey, like assets is where you go, right?
Correct.
Because you can leverage your assets to get more capital to grow these things. And if you have a good idea, you don't have to give away 50% of your business. You can just leverage an asset to get money from the bank at a 5% loan. Whereas like if you bring in an investor, you might have to give up 20, 30, 40, 50% of your business.
Correct.
And then that kills you.
Correct.
Right? So little things like that. I mean, there was definitely times when I started my business, when I started my first business, I actually sold my shoe collection at the time. This was in 2014, I believe. And that was like the one thing that I didn't want to do, okay. right? And I was like, oh, but you know, these shoes, man, they mean so much. And I remember like everybody used to always tell me, man, just sell your shoes, man, get rid of your shoes. Like you can't wear them anymore because you're in, you know, a certain situation. I was actually living at like a jail transition ministry, like homeless shelter almost, right? Up in Jasper, Georgia. And I was there for a year and it was just kind of like, man, shoes, you know? And I know, especially in today's age, it's like shoes are everything.
Right.
Right. These things are, but you get to a certain point, you can buy whatever shoe you want.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And you can pay resale and it don't matter. You know what I mean? So it's like certain situations like that, that definitely resonated from him. And even my parents to a certain extent, you know, they would kind of like teach me about, you know, debt and taking on debt and, you know, it's not smart. And even though they took on a lot of debt and still have debt, it was like one of those things where I was like, man, I just, you know, with the exception of a mortgage,
right,
debt's not for me. It's just, it'll drown you.
Right, it
you
will. Know? Right.
So that's just a couple little examples, I guess, that probably stick out to me the most.
Oh, those are some great practical examples. Let me ask you, in your opinion, what would you... What about $100,000 would signify financial literacy to you?
I think it's, you know, I guess for me, like $100,000 used to seem so out of reach,
right?
Right? Because in, you know, I guess, you know, 10, 15 years ago, $100,000, you make $100,000 a year.
That was good money.
It's good money.
It was great money. Right?
Right? And it's, I'll say this, it's still good money today,
yep.
you know? It's not that it's not attainable, but, you know, I would always look at it from a cash perspective, right? So I'd be like, oh, you know, if I had 10 stacks of like 10,000 each,
right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like how rappers show it, I'd right. be like, oh man, like I'm set. And then I could do this and flip that. And, oh, you know, all these like little things would go off in my head. And then when I got $100,000, I was like, dang, this ain't gonna last.
Right.
Because as you know, as you make more money, your lifestyle increases. And then, you know, especially in business, not a lot of people teach you this, but the more money you make, the more it costs you to keep it.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and that's, you know, that's one of the challenging things. So you always gotta continue to raise the bar, right? And that's just something I've always really tried to do is raise it.
Tell us a little bit more about, I mean, not super in-depth, but just give us like a little hint of what you just said. Like, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of young men, young women who try to get into the business aspect, you know, they feel like once they make their, you know, let's just take a round number. They make $10,000 a month for the business. And let's just assume that, you know, it costs $5,000 to continue with your inventory or whatnot. Tell us a little bit more about how they should start thinking or looking at the business when they make more money, because that money has to translate to other things that the business needs.
Yeah, That's a loaded question. So, it specifically like in my business, right? And just to preface, I didn't want to just create an income stream.
Gotcha.
And like create a job for myself. I really wanted to build a business. Okay. So like in terms of like scaling my business, right? So I think when I first started, I took a $20,000 investment. And then in my first year, I made $100,000. And I thought I had made it. And I was like, okay, this is great. But then with that came more staff and more people. And in my business, it's, you know, it's a patient revenue, gotcha. Right? So I'm not traditionally selling a good, right? I'm providing a service in which people pay for the service. Well, I'm not a doctor.
Gotcha.
I'm not a therapist. I'm just business-minded guy, gotcha. Right? So I have to hire therapists, and then I have to get a fax machine to communicate with the insurance company. And so internet, you know, you want to have fast internet because anything that could get in the way or delay kind of messes you up, and then hiring more staff, and then, you know, medical supplies gets expensive and drug screening. So like in the grand scheme of things, you can make the same percentage of profit, but not the same amount of money.
I got you.
You know what I mean? And so I kind of had to think about it like, okay, I really want to grow this to be a 40, 50, you know, $100 million business, right? But I can't sit there and just focus on 100 grand all day.
Right.
Like, I have to spend 100 grand to make $500,000.
Gotcha.
You know, I have to spend $500,000 to make $1 million, right? And so, like, that's really difficult whenever you don't have a lot of money, because you're like, oh, man, I'm making great money. You know, I want to go buy a new car. I want to go buy a new watch. Like, I want to go parlay with the homies. Right. Like, I want to go to nice dinners. Like, I want to always do these things. And it's like sometimes a sacrifice that you have to make. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No,
right?
You are. But, okay. You are. No, you are giving us the goods. Yeah. You are answering this question. Yes. Yes, you are. Continue.
Yeah, it's
on.
All about the sacrifice.
Right.
You know, and then here's the other reality. Every year, the IRS coming.
Good, right.
And they want something.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. you might have paid, you know, you might have outdone yourself based on like your first quarter's earnings. And so like each time you estimate your taxes, they're going to go off like last year, or they're right. going to go, you know, hey, this is your estimated tax. And you get to April.
Right.
And the IRS is like, we need 1.2.
Right.
And you're like, man, I have, you know, I got $2 million in the bank. Now that just ate up all this operating cash, you know. And so there's a lot of different variables, I think. It's definitely multi-layered. It just kind of depends on what business you're in. Because if I take the cologne business, for instance, my margins on the cologne is not big.
Right, true.
But last year, I think I sold almost $500,000 worth of cologne.
Wow.
In a year.
Wow.
And that was personally not even counting the drop ship. I mean, I probably sold with drop shipping and everything. Probably sold about $1 million worth of cologne.
Wow.
Maybe not quite. I had to run the numbers, but it's a lot of cologne. Right. I sell a lot of cologne. Now the margins are like, you know, maybe 15%, 20%. But still, you sell $1 million worth of cologne, that's $200,000.
That's good money,
you
right?
You know? And so just constantly reinvesting and buying things, not, you know, not knowing if I'm going to sell it. Like, I might buy $20,000 worth of cologne.
Right.
I might sit on it for 3 months.
Right.
But put this into perspective. I put $20,000 into the stock market, and I try to sit on it for 3 months. I lost money.
You lost money.
Lost money. So it's like taking that money instead of, you know, everybody thinks like stock market.
Right.
Sometimes goods and services where it's at, you know?
That's true. We got to shift gears just a little bit. So I remember earlier in the conversation that you said that, you know, back in the day, well, maybe about 5 years ago, $100,000 would have been great. But now $100,000 is a little bit less than what it is. It's still good money, but it's a little bit less. Can you tell us, like, what type of sacrifices you have to make with $100,000, like, on your monthly expenses, like with family and bills and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of, you mean like sacrifices, things that I have to like give up?
Right.
You don't get to spend a lot of time with family. You know, the Sundays of going and doing, you know, things that, you know, seem fun, and you're just chilling and your phone's not ringing, and, you know, I miss out on a lot of those things. Birthday parties, trips with friends. There's a lot of things that that I had to sacrifice. You know, I don't live, I mean, I live a great life, and I do vacation a little bit now because I've gotten to a position in my business that it's a lot more stable. Okay. And I've hired some really great leaders and invested a lot into my team to make sure that they can run it. But, you know, I'll speak to this. When I first started my business, I wasn't making terrible money, but date nights with me and my wife, my wife now, we were just dating at the time. I mean, it was 4 for $4 at Wendy's.
Okay.
You know, right. Dead serious. And she'll tell you, I mean, she always tells that story of like, you know, we didn't know what we were going to do.
Right.
And it was like, man, I was pouring. I mean, I was working from 6 a.m. till probably 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I was driving all over, and I had 3 or 4 different jobs while trying to run my business.
Right.
Because I knew I could make money with my business, but I had to continue to dump back into it.
Right.
And, you know, that was very difficult because, you know, I mean, that situation, I mean, I love my wife. Situation could have gone way different. She might have been like, hey, like,
right, you this know, ain't just it. Taking too long.
Yeah,
for me.
This
right.
ain't it,
right.
you know. But she, I think she saw the motivation and the drive in me. But it's definitely, I'll say this, it's definitely kind of hindered friendships. Okay. It's definitely hindered relationships with I don't want to say like my relationships with my family are terrible. They could be a lot better, but I'm just
you're so focused on mm-hmm. doing what you got to do in order to keep the business afloat and make mm-hmm. sure that your future and your family's future is
100%
good. Right.
You know, if it's Sunday afternoon and somebody who I've been trying to meet with that could potentially be a great mentor or right. somebody that I could do business with or whatever, if they call me and say, hey, Sunday, 4 o'clock, you be here. I'm gonna be there at 3:30.
Right.
I'm gonna show up.
Right.
I'm gonna get the game or I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna handle business. We're gonna make an agreement, whatever it is that we're doing. But, you know, most people, especially like football season.
Right.
Most people are like, hey, like let's go to the sports bar and get some wings and right. watch the football game. Or are you trying to go to the Falcons game or like little things like that. You know, it definitely puts me in a tough position. It's a friend, you might know KO.
Right.
He hits me up a lot of times and he'll be like, hey man, you wanna go to this event? And I'm like, dang bro, like I really do. And I love KO to death, man. That's it. I mean, great guy. I love that guy to death. Such a good dude. But I feel terrible because a lot of times he'll hit me up and I'm like, dang bro, like I got like, you know, business stuff or, right. or I got this meeting or I got this, like I can't make it. And sometimes it kind of, you know, you sit in those moments, sometimes you're like, man, like.
You feel alone.
Yeah, you do feel alone.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to say is, you know, you always hear the cliche is lonely at the top right. kind of thing. And not by any means am I at the top. But it's definitely a lot lonelier life than what you see portrayed, I say, like on social media.
Right.
You know, it's definitely different. It's a lot of sacrifice you got to make.
Right. Tell us about a monthly breakdown of like your house expenses or whatnot, or just a monthly expense of, you know.
So,
and the only reason I ask this is because, you know, like we were saying earlier, you know, we know, you know, you have to do what you got to do in order to maintain business and your lifestyle. But a lot of people may not understand how the lifestyle part may play a role along with the business or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just kind of give us like an overview of a monthly breakdown.
I'd say my monthly expenses are probably like 30 or 40 grand
Ooh.
A month. My mortgage initially was 2,400, but, and I'll speak to this, this kind of goes back to your sacrifice situation. So I refinanced my house when the rates were really low. I originally had a 4.25% interest rate and I refinanced it down to 2.25%.
Right.
Most people that I know that refinanced their house when the interest rates were low, they took money out.
Okay.
Home improvements, things like that. So I had a 30-year mortgage, refinanced my house, continued my payment, took, I don't know, 15 years off my mortgage, or I guess 12 years off my mortgage, got a better interest rate, and now I'm paying my house off faster, which then becomes an asset that I can sell. So my mortgage is like $2,500. I pay $3,000 a month on it. I pay a little bit extra just to kind of pay off my principal and not get crushed on interest.
Right.
You know, my car's probably like $1,700 or $2,000 a month,
okay.
I think. You know, I have my landscaping stuff, so because I'm busy with business, I don't have time to go out and mow the yard
right.
and keep up with my bushes and all that stuff. So I do my landscaping. I think it's like $560 a month to keep up with everything. Then you got all your utilities and your TV subscriptions and things like that. It's probably, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500. Grocery, probably spend like $200-$300 a week,
right,
on groceries. Groceries are high right now too. It's getting crazy. And then dinner. So like one thing, Wednesday is my day that I don't do anything anymore. Okay. I do go to work on Wednesday or go into the office or whatever, or do some work stuff. But then I basically dedicate Wednesday nights to just me and my wife hanging out.
Okay.
To kind of, you know, keep our relationship strong. And like, you know, I'm a big proponent of like continuing to date. Even though you're married, it's like you need to continue to date and continue to learn from each other and build as a team, as a unit. You know, I buy clothes.
Right.
I buy shoes. And then, you know, might go on a trip, hotels, flights, things like that. So I'd say on average, it's probably about 30 a month.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So, all right. Because you've been saying a lot of great, you've been giving a lot of great information, a lot of practical great information. I want to talk to you a little bit about your mentorship and networking, mm-hmm. right? Tell us, like, what are some ways that an individual, or matter of fact, what are some ways that you network?
Pretty much everything.
Right.
So
do you go to events and things?
I go to a ton of events, conferences. I'm also pretty involved with a couple foundations.
Okay.
So I do fundraising foundations. Great opportunity to meet people. I play golf. I just came from playing golf. So I was playing golf with a couple people. I'm also a member of the Braves. Okay. So I have season tickets with the Braves. And I opted. It didn't cost me anything extra. And a lot of people might not know this, but you can opt into a corporate membership.
Wow.
It doesn't cost you anything extra.
Okay.
And the Braves will, you know, keep you up to date with all the events. Like we just did, we did the Minority Business Leadership Summit just a couple weeks ago, and it was basically about, you know, basically their whole thing was holding the Braves accountable to doing business with minority owned
gotcha.
businesses.
Gotcha.
Women, different ethnicities, things like that. Super informative. I met some great people there. I mean, I met some professors from Penn State. I met some people with Delta. I met some people with some nonprofit organizations, just things that like you might never know.
Right.
Right. I mean, you might call me and say, hey, you know, I have a friend of mine, you know, Spanish guy. He's looking to find access to capital for starting a business or whatever it is. And I might be like, oh, I met this guy at the leadership summit. I might be able to connect you and him.
Right.
And then that helps me build my relationship with him because right. I connected y'all. Now we started to have a conversation. Then he's like, hey, I want you to meet this guy. Right. And I might meet that guy. And a lot of times I think, and this is where I had to shift my focus, is I would always look at like a mentor or a networking event or something where it's like, hey, something that you can do for me.
Right, right.
And I completely shifted my focus. And I'm like, hey, if I go to these events, then that helps me be able to do something for someone else.
Okay.
And then that's how I cast my net.
Gotcha.
Because I can sit here and it can be a what can you do for me type of situation. But then the way you build your network is by doing things for other people and being a resource, right? Because nobody wants a crab
right.
around. Somebody wants somebody who's giving something to the team.
Correct.
So like I kind of utilize that. I go to pretty much anything I can get my hands on.
Okay.
You know, okay. if... I mean, I go to anything. Right. I go to trade shows, sneaker shows, healthcare networking events, you know, software events. I do training. I mean, I go
just wherever you can show your face and, mm-hmm. and have a new individual that you can speak to.
100%.
Right. Yeah.
That's relationships are everything.
Right. Okay. So, tell us about the individual who makes this money. Who is he? Who is this person? And how attainable is it for this person to actually make the money? Tell us their qualities.
So I think it's definitely attainable. The biggest thing I'll say is integrity,
okay.
right? That is 100%, in my opinion, this is my opinion, that in order to achieve it, and keep it, you have to have integrity. What I mean by that is if I message you on Facebook and I say, hey, I'm going to come do this podcast
right.
and I'm going to be there at 5:00, I'm going to be there at 5:00. A little bit before,
right?
I'm going to make sure that I'm there. Now, I just drove from Milton after playing golf.
Right.
I've been up since whatever, but I made a commitment to you. And so in business, commitments are everything, yeah. right? Not everything is contract.
Right.
Everybody always kind of thinks contract. So like, if I don't have integrity, I'm not going to get far.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing. The other thing is character, right? How do I conduct myself? How do I do business,
right?
Right? Because one thing my grandfather taught me when I was a little bit younger, it's always better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have any opportunities than to have a million opportunities and not be prepared, right? So I always try to show up and display my character and always, you know, care about others,
right?
So that's the second thing. And I'll say the third thing is discipline.
Okay.
A lot of sacrifice.
Right.
You got to give up a lot of things.
Right.
Right. You might not be able to pay yourself 1 month.
Right.
Right. But then that next month, just double up.
Right. Right.
Know? I mean, so there's always certain things, and you know, I've got some really good mentors that have taught me a lot of things, and remaining calm right. in the storm.
Okay.
That's probably my biggest asset. And that comes from, you know, just that discipline that goes back to the integrity and the character and taking care of myself and just being the best version of myself, because that's everything.
That's everything. Man, I appreciate you, James. You have dropped more than a boulder of information, of nuggets. Do you have any social media that you would like to share with the people, so that way maybe if anyone want to connect with you, network with you?
So, I mean, I have social media.
Right.
I'm not a big social media guy.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have Instagram. It's Inspire2Change23.
Okay.
And then I'm on Facebook, James May. If I don't know if they can see me on this, but if
yeah.
they can see a video of
yeah,
me,
yeah.
you know what I look like. And yeah, I mean, that's about it. I'm more of a face-to-face kind of guy, not
yeah.
too big on social media, but I'm there. So if anybody needs anything, or, you know, somebody can email me, or whatever.
Well, you want to give them your email?
Yeah. My email is mayjames23@gmail.com. And man, I'm always down to do whatever to help anybody that I can, because I wouldn't be here if someone didn't help me.
Well, would you like to be able to come back? Would you be able to come back on another date, you know, if we wanted to, you know, talk to you more about some more financial literacy?
You tell me.
Yeah, we might have you back, man.
Like I said,
you gave some
I
great
take
gems.
Every single
I like to ask a man first, but
yeah,
you know.
I take every opportunity that I can get, because you know, this gave me an opportunity to meet you, and
right.
you know, then we connect on cologne.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you never know what that relationship could possibly do. And I try to cast my net as wide as I can everywhere I go.
Well, you guys heard it here. I appreciate James for coming out. You guys will be able to see this video within a week after everything is edited up and taken care of. But we'd like to say thanks for coming on out. And this is for our first episode of Modern Man Talks featuring James May.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Good deal.